Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn 740, for all the saints who from their labors rest. 740. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Let us pray. Almighty God, we worship you, the God whom others have worshipped in generations before us throughout all the ages. God of the patriarchs of the Israelite race, God of the kings and prophets, God who made yourself known in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the activity of the Holy Spirit, we rejoice in the privilege of joining to worship you in our own time. O Lord, our God, you are our Father, and we take a humble position in your presence, knowing how our lives fall short of what you ask of us and of the example you've given us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Forgive us, Lord, that we so easily forget that it is you who know what is best for us. Forget that our lives are bound up with those of others. Forget to keep our mind fixed on Jesus, our Master and Guide. Help us to see those mistakes, O God. Grant us the strength to overcome them and the perseverance to go on seeking to do your will and not our own. Make us ready to see the needs of others and to minister to them. Keep us in the faith to entrust ourselves, our dear ones, and our concerns to your fatherly care, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 113, God the Father of Creation, 113. God's word in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter 25, at verse 19. Genesis, chapter 25, at verse 19. This is the account of Abraham's son, Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean from Paddan Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer and his wife Rebecca became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the other, the older, will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank, and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. And in the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, at verse 1. Matthew, chapter 13, at verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied to them, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 518, "Lift Up Your Hearts," 518. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, at verse 3, he spoke to them in parables and at some length. Jesus spoke to the people in parables and spoke to them at some length. How long is a sermon? Well, there's no precise measurement, is there? Once a preacher begins preaching, we don't know how long he may go on. But if we regularly attend the same church, we get used to a habitual way of things. So we could estimate, at least from our own experience, we could estimate the length of a sermon. Most people nowadays don't want to have to listen to sermons which go on too long. But Jesus spoke to the people in parables and at some length. And the people, it seems, stayed and listened. It's true they didn't all stay and listen, and it's true that many of those who did stay and listen to him in the early days of his public ministry stopped listening and turned against him later on, when they saw that he was not just there to pander to their wishes and bolster up their preconceived ideas. They did turn against him then. But at the beginning, when he was speaking to them in parables and speaking at length, they stayed and listened. And that itself is a parable. It's a parable of the way people are today, the way people have been all through the centuries, listening to Jesus, losing interest when he begins to say things which are not to their liking. Why did Jesus speak in parables, and why did he speak at some length? When I did my spell in school teaching, I taught mostly in Glasgow. I taught some likeable rogues and some likeable dimwits. They would say ill-considered things like, "Sir, have you got a loan of a pencil?" And I would answer, "No, I've brought one of my own." But it was useless because the subtlety went over their heads. And when I did lend them a pencil, sometimes they would complain, "This pencil's too sharp, too blunt, too long, too short, too black, too pale, anything to hold up the process of education." And then I would say, "This pencil has one great advantage over your pencil. It's here. If we're going to use something, it has to be here." Jesus used for his teaching some object lessons which were available, things which were ready to hand. We can think of some of the parables he told, the parable of the sower. He was speaking to people out in the open. There was quite possibly a sower at work within sight of where they were gathered together to listen to Jesus. The parable of the lost sheep. Again, maybe sheep could be seen grazing from where they were gathered. Why did Jesus teach in parables? Part of the answer, at least, is the simple answer of availability. Use whatever is ready to hand. Things from daily life. That's what Jesus used in those object lessons. So there were things people were familiar with. Speaking to them about what happened to the seed, depending on the kind of soil it fell into. Talking about searching for a lost sheep or a lost coin. That kind of thing got right onto people's wavelength. People listening to Jesus' teaching in parables were not having to try to get their head around some abstruse ideas or wrestle with complicated reasoning. They could latch on right away. So the object lessons for the parables were ready and available. There were things to which people could relate immediately. And that leads on to another advantage of teaching in parables. The parables Jesus told were stories. It's easier to remember a story than a set of dry principles. Most of us, I'm sure, can remember Goldilocks and the Three Bears. But can we so easily remember the proof of the theorem of Pythagoras. So there, briefly, we have the answer to the question, why did Jesus teach in parables? Available material for object lessons, getting on people's wavelength, and stories easily remembered. He spoke to them in parables and at some length. Why did he need to speak to them at length? What was the point of going on, as we might say? Well, I don't think we have to think very far before we find examples of people having to say things more than once. Telling a thing once is not enough. It ought to be enough, but people don't take it in, or they don't keep it in anyway. They have to be told again and again. When I was training for the teaching profession, they used to call it reinforcement. Reinforcing what you're teaching by repeating it, and sometimes having the pupils repeat it, so that it will not only be learned, it will be remembered. In school, some of what is taught is in books, in print. It can be looked at and read again as many times as necessary. But Jesus was teaching only by word of mouth. He never wrote anything down. He didn't leave anything of his own in writing. All the more reason then to speak to the people at length, reinforcing the lessons he had to teach. He spoke to them in parables and at some length. Yes, because parables were a good way of getting his teaching across, and because speaking at length helped to drive the message home. Was there something else? Was there another reason also why Jesus spoke at length? Yes, perhaps there was. What gets home to one person will maybe not get home to another. Two people listening to the same talk, one of them is left cold by it all. The other feels it strike an answering chord in his mind and gets a great deal from it. I'm sure that's how it was when Jesus was telling his parables. He spoke at length. He reiterated the truth in different parables. So those who didn't twig the meaning the first time might have a chance to catch on with a different example. So Jesus spoke at length in parables to get his meaning across in terms people could understand, to help them to remember the truth, to give everyone a chance to grasp what he was saying. Now, what does all this say to us? What's the truth which emerges from all this? Jesus' parables are a special means of putting his message across. When we read them in the New Testament, we can understand what he was on about. And the crux of the matter, the really important thing for us, doesn't Jesus still speak to us in parables? Isn't he still trying to get the truth through to us in our daily life? Doesn't he use now as he did then? Doesn't he use the material which is ready to hand? Things with which we're most familiar? What is the Lord Jesus Christ saying to us today? Here in this building, in this environment, here in these circumstances, undoubtedly he is saying something to us. In this pleasant building, which is too big for its usual Sunday congregation, in the linking of our two congregations, here and Ardeer, in the roadworks that we encounter when we drive about in the area, in the circumstances of home, in all those things, the truth which God has to teach us is there to be learned. But there's something further to say about Jesus' teaching in parables. The parable, as we know, is a story. The truth it has to tell is not told literally. It's clothed in the words of the story. The truth is there for people to discover, but they have to discover it for themselves. Those who don't want to discover it, those who only have an interest in furthering their own ideas, they won't find the truth which is there. Those who are looking for the truth, those who are alert and listening for the voice of God, they will learn. He spoke to them in parables and at some length. Yes, Jesus speaks to us still. in parables drawn from the things of daily life, the things we see and handle every day, the things we're most familiar with. If we don't get the message from one parable, we may very well get it from another, if we're looking for it, if we're searching for God's truth. Not if we're intent on proving ourselves right or advancing our own ideas. Every day of our life, the Lord Jesus Christ is ready to teach us some new truth. And that's exciting. If we really enter into it, what a lot we can learn, even before we meet here together in the church again. Parables, miracles, characteristic signs of Jesus' earthly ministry. He still speaks to us in parables, in our life, and he still works miracles. That can be in our life too. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 608, Spirit of Truth and Grace, 608.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we have heard your word. Grant that it may take root in our hearts and bring forth fruit to your glory. Accept our gifts of our material resources and let them be used in your service. Let your Spirit so pervade our life that all that we think and say and do may be an offering to you, our God. Lord, whose hand has controlled the whole of life from its earliest beginnings, we thank you for the many ways in which you bless us day by day. We thank you for life itself with all its interest and all its challenge, for food to sustain us, for home and work, for the fellowship of friends, and the opportunity to enjoy the beauty of your world and the innocent pleasures which life affords. We thank you, Lord, for the deeper things of life, the goodness and mercy which have followed us all our days, keeping us safe in danger, raising us up when we've fallen, strengthening us in times of testing, guiding us in moments of decision. We thank you that all your creatures are under your care. Above all, we thank you for the supreme gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all that he has done and continues to do for us, for the Holy Spirit, the giver of strength, for the church, which is our home, for the lives of those who have helped to show us the way, and for the hope of the life beyond. We pray for the church, that it may be continually renewed and enabled to be a channel of your love and an instrument of your will in the world. We pray for our Queen and the members of the Royal House. Grant your grace and guidance to those in positions of authority, that they may spend their efforts for the welfare of the people, for the honour of our land, and for the glory of your name. Take our dear ones into your keeping. We pray for those separated from us by distance, that by drawing near to you we may be drawn nearer to one another. We commend to your care those who are ill and those whose work is the healing and tending of the sick, that all may be strengthened by the knowledge of your continued presence and that the healing work of Jesus may continue. Be with those in any kind of need, Lord. There are some known to us whose names we hold before you. There are others we know not. Be with them all, supplying their need and bringing them to a surer knowledge of your love and goodness. Lord God, your Son Jesus Christ has shown us that life is far deeper than that which is bordered by physical birth and death. Sow within our hearts the seeds of that eternal life, and keep us in union with those whose physical life is past and those yet to come, that we may in due course receive the blessing, "Well done, good and faithful servants, come and share your master's delight." Grant this, Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. One or two things to say, friends, as well as what's on the leaflet today. There's a note which has come to us from St. John's Church. Once again, the charity Mary's Meals will be making a collection at St. John's on the weekend of November 19 and 20. That's in 2 weeks' time. St. John's Church Hall will be open on Saturday, November 19, between 1 and 3 in the afternoon, for bags of clothing and so on, which can be recycled and provide food for children. Mary's Meals now feed over 1 million children, and they thank us for our continued support. So that's a fortnight from now, Saturday and Sunday, the 19th and 20th, at St. John's Church. The arrangements for the funeral services of Alec McMaster taking place tomorrow. The service here in the church at 12 o'clock, and thereafter at Holmesford Bridge Crematorium at 1 o'clock. That's the service for Alec McMaster tomorrow. And next Sunday, November 13, is Remembrance Day, as in recent years we are joining with the congregation of Our Dear for a Remembrance Day service. And the service, as usual, is being held in Our Dear Church, where they have the youth organizations who come on parade with their colors. And the service will begin at 11:15. Next Sunday, the 13th, service in Our Dear Church at 11:15. Meanwhile, we close this service with hymn 644, O Jesus, I Have Promised, 644. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.